In 1979, Arthur Sims had yet another thought on how to extend SCATs.
When we made the decision, or the department made the decision to install 150 sets of traffic lights a year, it was obvious that if you could use the helicopter to sit over the top of a section of road, which was going to have, say, 10 sets of new sets of traffic lights commissioned in that period while you were up there, you could quickly talk over a radio down to someone on the ground who had a SCATS terminal to change the settings in order to make the road system work better. So it was a matter of a method of observing the SCATS operation and fine-tuning it while you're sitting above it. So we started that way, and then Graham Davis, in his usual way, said, why don't we have a SCATS terminal in the helicopter? We can use a radio link directly from that terminal, direct to the SCATS computer, and we can sit up there and we can do it ourselves. So he went ahead and designed that, and it worked well. In fact, it was probably the first computer control of something from the air to the ground to do something automatically without, you know, relying on someone else. I used to fly 3 hours in the morning peak period and 3 hours in the afternoon peak period. Literally, it felt like for years, and it was too, every day, be up in the chopper.
John Bliss is currently General Manager, Traffic Systems Branch at the RTA. He explains how SCATS really works.
It's a system where we are constantly at key locations near traffic signals or at traffic signals, measuring the traffic demand, measuring the number of vehicles that are passing through the intersection, but more particularly measuring how dense or not dense that traffic is. Now, the denser it is and the more there are of them, the higher the demand. And that says to us that we need to change the timing of the signals in a way to accommodate that. And the theory under which this works, the classic traffic engineering theory of dividing up the time at a traffic signal controlled intersection, says that the more traffic demanding a slice of action, a slice of the pie, so to speak, then the higher the cycle length that you have to drive the traffic signals at. The cycle length is simply the time that it takes to go from a particular point in the sequence of signal operations right through the whole range of operations that it's capable of and round to that point again. So it can work through servicing the main street, then the side streets, then any turning phases that are demanded, and then back to the point where it services the main street again. That's known as the cycle time. The more traffic in the offing, the higher the cycle length. The more traffic that's offering for a particular movement, the larger the slice of the pie, if you like, of that cycle time that has to be allocated to that traffic. So with SCATS, we're measuring the volume and that density or degree of saturation, we're measuring that demand. And we're constantly changing at that intersection the amount of green that's given to each movement and the cycle time, the sum of all those greens, if you like. We are also keeping an eye on what's happening at the nearby signal-controlled intersections and trying to coordinate what they are doing with what's happening at the most critical of the intersections in that group. And what happens is that basically each intersection is placing a vote for what it thinks should happen at the next cycle. Some intersections carry a bit more weight in their voting than others. If it's a critical intersection, then it will carry the day. Because at the end of the day, if you want to coordinate a group of signals, they have all got to operate on the same cycle time. Otherwise, they just get hopelessly out of step. If you want to coordinate things, if you want to try and achieve a green wave within the limits that can be achieved, you've got to have a common cycle time. So the most critical one will drive that particular part of the argument. Strategically, for what happens on the main road, SCATS is working out what that group needs to accommodate the demands, but it is leaving the individual intersection controller some degree of freedom to cut short the side street time that can be allocated. SCATS will say, well, you can have up to so many seconds, but if the local intersection says, I don't need that much, then it can cut it and reallocate it back to the main street. So SCATS is quite clever in that regard. I came across a description of the information systems that power SCATs that I think is probably most illuminating, that it illustrates really how much you can do with, in a sense, how little information. This fellow said, imagine that you have a ping pong table and you draw a map of your road network or part of your road network on that table. And everywhere that we have a loop detector in the road, you drill a hole in your table tennis table. You then lie underneath the table. What do you see? You see spots of light through each of the holes that you've drilled. Now, each of those holes represents a detector in the SCAT system, or in a SCAT subsystem. And every time a car crosses over that loop detector, or a toy car, if you like, crosses over the pinhole in the table, you don't see the light anymore. So you see a pattern of light going on and off. That is what SCAT sees, and it is out of that pattern of lights going on and off, each one of which represents a vehicle that's just crossed the detector, and how long it stays on and how long it's off, which represents the density of traffic, that SCAT gets its picture of demand and what it needs to do to change the signals.